Welcome in, everybody. Another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming to you after a tough 8-3 loss to the Colorado Rockies. Today, we're going to break everything down for you in just a moment. Highlights, key moments, all of the good stuff and the bad stuff. Unfortunately, today, a little more bad than good. Rangers drop game 2 of 2 in a row now to the Rockies. So we have a big game tomorrow to avoid getting swept by the worst team in baseball, the Colorado Rockies. Oof, tough two games. I'll tell you what, I don't know. I really thought the Rangers offense would get jump-started playing in Coors Field. Really had a good feeling that they were going to go to Colorado, go to Coors Field, fresh off scoring 12 runs against the A's in the last game that they played of that doubleheader. Rangers scored 12 runs. I figured for sure we're just going to go to Colorado and keep hitting, right? Most hitter-friendly ballpark in the big leagues, and it just has not transpired at this point. Anyways, guys, before we get too far into it, I know that some of y'all are returning listeners, viewers, subscribers, followers, but for all y'all new here at Right on Rangers, we cover pretty much everything sports, but we put a special emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, coming live to you after nearly every Rangers game, rain or shine. Rainy one in Colorado today, win or loss as well. Tough loss for the Rangers, 8-3. And this was another really, really tight game throughout. Very tight game throughout in this one. Really thought when Leody hit that home run that the Rangers were going to end up pulling this one out. Leody Taveras hits a nice homer to right field. Not a no-doubter, but when it came off the bat, it looked at minimum like it was going to be extra bases. And Leody gives the Rangers the 3-2 lead. You think at that point, Rangers are going to have Leclerc, Robertson. They're going to have Yates available to close this one out. I really felt confident when Taveras hit that home run that we would be able to maintain that 3-2 lead, and it wasn't meant to be. I did say probably about a week ago, we were just kind of marveling at Robertson and Yates and the job that they've been doing. And at this point, you're getting way more than what you ever expected you would get out of Robertson and Yates. Way more than what I know I expected personally. I mean, there might have been some Rangers fans out there that predicted that these two guys, I'm talking about David Robertson and Kirby Yates, the back end of the Rangers bullpen, were going to have the kind of season and the kind of start that they're having so far. I don't think a lot of Rangers fans probably had that one. I mean, I figured these guys are going to be good contributors, like solid, but never did I think Kirby Yates was going to be sporting the ERA that he is along with Robertson. Robertson just didn't quite have his A game. Inclement weather, it was raining, probably some issues there with the elements, if I had to guess. I'm not tuning in to the post game. Like many of you, I'm at intermission of the Dallas Stars game right now against the Colorado Avs. We'll hopefully get a little pick-me-up with Dallas winning a game in Colorado. We talked last night, kind of crazy how that worked out with both the Rangers and the Stars being in Denver. But let's get into the Rangers here, and let's really try and break down as many of the positives and as many of the lessons that need to be taken away from this game. So really, we had a case of the Rangers offense not performing at the highest level once again. So to only score 3 runs, you had one coming off a solo shot. You had Nate Lowe driving in a couple of other runs on a single. But the Rangers are, I believe, at 5 runs in 2 games, 2.5 per game average. In Colorado at Coors Field, you got to do better than that. You have to do better than that. And the Rangers offense, top three goes 1-for-4, 1-for-4, and Nate Lowe was 1-for-2. With 2 walks. So Nate Lowe just continues to be an extremely solid presence for this lineup. Corey Seager, 1-for-4. He had a walk as well. So Seags was on base twice. Thought he would probably come out and have a little bit of a stronger day than what he had. But nevertheless, on base twice, hard to get on Corey Seager too much. I think Doley is probably the most concerning Ranger in the lineup at this point. Doley, 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts. And Doley just doesn't look quite like himself right now. I will say, and we made the comment before, that he's probably playing hurt. On that Blackman single, or whatever it was, double, bounces off Nate Lowe's glove, ricochets, you know, out into the foul territory against the wall in right field. really looked like Dolly was just jogging to that baseball. I mean, that did not look like full speed to me whatsoever. We're not going to, you know, grind on Dolly too much. I'm sure he's playing through something. I'd rather have him around than have him on the IL like so many Rangers already are. But I will say it is frustrating to see him loafing on some of these plays. And I know loafing might not be the best choice of words, but you're not going full speed on a live ball when Blackman's circling the bases. And I do think that the Rangers right now are probably going to take what they can get from Dolly. But I think the second guys start coming back more healthy, maybe you give that guy some extended time if there is something going on. I don't know if any Rangers reporters have asked about it, but it just I don't feel like I've seen Dolly run hard in a few weeks, probably 3 or 4 weeks since I've seen Dolly really go 100%, whether it's on the base paths, whether it's out in the outfield. So for me, yeah, we're going to take what we can get. Maybe you give him some more DH opportunities if possible. But Dolly clearly, to me, is not at 100%. The alternative is he's just out there dogging it. And I don't think anybody thinks that that's the case. I know I don't think that he's just out there dogging it. So if you're not going full speed to a ball like that, where Blackman is, again, circling the bases, right? I mean, you're clearly ailing in some way, shape, or form, in my opinion. I really don't want to think or don't want to believe, I should say, that Dolly is out there, you know, just totally loafing, dogging it, not going 100%. But I don't know. Maybe somebody will ask about it at some point, one of the Rangers beat writers or reporters, but it just doesn't look like he's running around with his usual speed. Now, beyond that, let's talk about the offensive side of things. Dolly is chasing a lot right now. The three strikeouts are evidence of that. And he has, I think, his chase rate is definitely up from where it was at the beginning of the season. What Dolly untapped last year was a good eye. I think Dolly took the next step last season when the Rangers won the World Series, when he demonstrated a good eye at the plate. So I think that absolutely led to him being as hot as he was in the postseason and finishing as strong as he did, of course, before he got injured in the World Series. It does look like there's a little bit of regression back to the old ways, not being patient at the plate, not completely locked in on the strike zone, on good pitches to swing at, being patient, waiting on your pitch. It does seem like Dolly is regressing a little bit in that category. It's nothing that's not fixable, by the way, but it just seems like right now, Dolly just not seeing the ball well up there. Like getting fooled on a lot of different pitches, off speed, low and away. I'm sure they're working on it, and I'm sure that nobody is working on it harder than he is in the cage, but right now that appears to be the biggest issue with him. Not being patient up there, not waiting on your pitch, swinging at junk. And I really think that for the Rangers to get back where they totally can be offensively, got to get Dolly right. He is kind of the heart of this order. Not saying he's the best hitter, but when that guy's hitting home runs and driving the baseball, just a really, really tough team to beat. We got Josh Smith going 0-for-4, just going down the box score here, guys. Josh Smith going 0-for-4. Jonah Heim was 1-for-4 today. Jankowski goes 0-for. Duran continues with his hot hitting, 294 average on the year, 2-for-4 tonight. Look, if he keeps doing this, I think that they're going to probably take that and keep him in the lineup. Now, I don't know what spot he ends up taking, and clearly Evan Carter being out tonight probably benefits. Maybe Jankowski comes out. Maybe Jankowski's not starting tonight if Evan Carter is able to go. But if Duran can continue to give you two-hit performances, the Rangers are going to keep that bat in the lineup for sure. I know with Duran, personally, he is a very streaky hitter, in my opinion. He was extremely hot at the beginning of last year, if you remember. He was hitting over 300. It was like May, June, and then he totally fell off a cliff. We're talking about Ezekiel Duran. So maybe he's in one of those stretches right now where we're going to get, you know, a 3-for-10 kind of average from him. I would love to see that. The Rangers will take any offensive production that they can right now with how this offense is going. Tavares goes 2-for-4, hits the home run. Leody is in one of those streaks as well. Leody is hitting 256 right now. He's raised the average about 25 points in the last week. And he is probably one of the hottest Rangers hitters himself. So he goes 2-for-4 with 2 runs scored, had an RBI, obviously, with the home run. I just hope that Leody, Duran can be consistent with their play. We don't need, you know, them to hit 350 the rest of the way. but can we at least get some consistency where it's not just absolutely terrible when it's not going like this? At the bottom of the order, that's really all you can ask for. I don't expect these guys to hit over 300 for the rest of the year, but can we not have the valleys be so low when it's not going well? I think that's what I hope for when it comes to Leody and Durant. Going to enjoy this hot streak, but can the valleys just not be so dang low when it comes to those two players? Because last year, right before the middle of the summer, both those guys had a very great start to the 2023 season and just fell off a cliff towards the middle of the year. And I hope that that doesn't happen here. But as guys get back healthy, maybe if Durant is hitting really, really well, maybe that's a trade piece. That's what I would really like to see. And it's not because I don't like Ezekiel Durant. I just think Durant is a hot and cold hitter. He's going to go really, really well at some points, but when it's bad, it's going to be bad. I really hope Durant can raise up the value a little bit, and maybe that's a piece that the Rangers can trade at the deadline. I don't know what they have planned for Ezekiel Durant. With these injuries, it's super hard to even know what the long-term plans are. You just got to go day by day, fill the lineup out, and get guys that can produce. But if the Rangers can get Josh Jung back, get some guys back healthy, get the offense working well again, I got to think that Durant potentially, if he's still hitting well come June, come July, could potentially be a good trade piece for the Rangers. I'd like to see that happen. Leody, we know how much potential he has. He was the number one prospect in our system for a reason. I know I probably sound like a broken record because I've talked about this point over and over. Leody has the potential. It's, can he be consistent? Can he put it all together for an extended period of time? He can play a really great center field. We've seen Leody make some incredible plays. Absolutely incredible. We know Leody's got pop. We know he can swing a good bat at times. Can he just be consistent with it and not go into those 0 for 15, 0 for 20 stretches, you know, every other series? That's kind of what we're looking for from Leody. And so far, past what, probably three series, he's been a consistent bat for the Rangers. So tomorrow, looking forward, we got to make sure that we get started out early with some runs. It does seem like when the Rangers score early, the game generally goes better. I mean, this isn't groundbreaking stuff, guys. That's kind of how it works in baseball. The team that scores first and continues and keeps up that scoring, team that answers back when the other team scores, those teams are going to win games more often than not. But it does seem like when the Rangers draw first blood, the whole game just goes better. Kind of takes a weight off of everybody. When they put up 4 or 5 zeros in a row to start the game, first through fourth, you're just getting guys going, you know, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, or close to it. I think it just sets a total negative vibe for the rest of the game. And this team, I think, has a tough time getting out of it sometimes. Now, the fifth inning, obviously, you get 2 runs there. That was great. The Leody bomb was spectacular. Loved it. Thought that was going to be the game winner. Would have loved that to happen for Leody. He deserved to have that moment with how he's been playing, and he obviously cost the team a little bit last night, so I thought that was going to be a great redemption moment for him. It wasn't meant to be. Robertson finally has an off game. I mean, that dude was pitching like on a not human level for the first month and a half of the season. So he finally has a bad outing, 4 earned runs, 1 walk, gave up 2 hits. Robertson didn't even get an out. It just was not David Robertson's night tonight. Everybody's going to have those kinds of nights occasionally, and this is really one of the first time Robertson's ever done this, so we got to give him a break. Got to give him a break. Can't harp on him. ERA balloons up to 2.61. It was like at 0.87 or something last time I checked. Balloons up to 2.61, unfortunately, for him. Then Cole Wynn comes in. The game was close, right? I think it was a 1 or 2 run game when Cole Wynn came in, and he gives up 3 hits. And I think didn't walk anybody, but 3 hits right away, and the game just started getting out of hand, right? Then you had the Charlie Blackmon bases clearing. I don't know. They probably gave him, what, maybe a single on that with an error, if I had to guess. Yeah, I think that's how they ended up scoring it. So I don't know. I don't know what they ended up scoring on that one. Maybe it was just straight-up double. But that's kind of when it all unraveled, that seventh inning where the Rockies scored 6 runs. And the Rangers bullpen just didn't have it. Leclerc, I thought that, you know, he's gonna be okay when Leody gives us the 3-2 lead, even though he had balked home that run. which it did technically look like he balked. I know the balk rule is super weird right now in baseball. Like, what's a balk? What isn't? I do wish that they would really look at that rule and maybe do some discussing about really how much pitchers are really trying to deceive in some of those moments, because that's the whole point of the rule, right? The point of the balk rule is to prevent pitchers from deceiving the runners. And sometimes maybe you could make an argument that Jose Leclerc's very slight flinch of the front leg was deceiving the runner and they thought he was pitching. But the reality is it probably did absolutely nothing for any of the runners. And it ends up just being a free base, and in this case, a free run. I do wish that they would look at the balk rule a little bit. There are some pretty obvious situations where pitchers are clearly, clearly trying to deceive the runner. And then there are situations like what we saw tonight where there's an ever so slight flinch. And you know what? It really doesn't affect anything. So I don't know. I think that's a really, really tough rule and a tough way to have a run score against you. But I'll tell you what, I think they got to talk about it a little bit, because there are some balk plays that I see, some replays, and I genuinely can't tell what the pitcher did wrong. And again, if it doesn't affect anything, I just don't see the reason why it needs to be called. If there is a deception, or if the runner starts going because of the movement or something like that, I could see it. It's kind of like in football with the false start rule. Like, you know how the defensive lineman comes across the line of scrimmage and the O lineman like automatically will like start moving just to draw the penalty. Like, I kind of say with the balk, if nobody moves or jumps, I don't know if that's something that you need to call, but that's just me. I know a lot of old school baseball purists probably will just love to have that balk rule stay exactly like it is, but I wish they'd talk about it. I do think, as I move to the comments here, the rain and the weather obviously played a big part, I think, in some of the Rangers bullpen guys falling apart a little bit. I do think it's tough. Now, that being said, none of the Rockies pitchers coming out seem to give up any runs. I think Bird gave up the home run to Leody, but after that, Kinley came in, Mears came in for the Rockies, and both of them did a great job shutting down the Rangers late. So look, they had to play in the same conditions as we did, so no excuses there, but I do think that with Robertson, the elements probably played a little bit into that. We'll give Robertson a break. He's been one of the best Rangers pitchers. You're bound to have an off day sooner or later. Robertson had an incredible run, both he and Yates, really. So I'm not going to sit here and fume about David Robertson's performance tonight. I mean, we're just so spoiled by what him and Yates have done. You just kind of expect him to keep things where they're at. Nobody expected him to not get a single out and give up four runs, but it happens. And you know what? You can live and die with Robertson blowing the game because he's been so good for you. You know, it's not like we're sitting here like we were last night. Yerry Rodriguez gives up the game, and it's like, why are you pitching Yerry Rodriguez in this spot? So I can live with Robertson being the guy that gives up the runs that ultimately lose the game. I know he came out and Cole Wynn kind of gave up the big, big hit that really allowed things to get out of hand, but Robertson gets the loss and the blown save. Again, you can live with that guy, your best guy, losing you the ball game. It doesn't mean it doesn't suck. It does. Nobody wants to lose to the Rockies, the worst team in baseball. But what I am saying is this wasn't a case of the Rangers coaches deciding to throw out a scrub out there that ended up losing us the game. We threw our best and they beat them. It is what it is. So I'm looking at the rest of the pitching before we move on to tomorrow's matchup. Andrew Heaney, once again, pitched really, really well, I thought. I know he got into some trouble in the fifth inning. I know that he was about at 85 pitches. I kind of wondered if they let him work out of that little jam. I think it was actually in the sixth inning. So in the sixth inning, he allowed the first two runners to reach. Kind of wondered, would they give him one more batter? He did have the swing and miss going tonight, 8 strikeouts. I think that might be a season high for him. And once again, Andrew Heaney, no walks. No walks. So I got to say, I'm very, very pleased with what we got out of Andrew Heaney. To see no walks, 8 strikeouts. He did give up a home run today, a solo shot, but 8 hits, 5 innings pitched. And again, would have liked maybe to see if he could have gotten somebody out in that sixth inning, kind of gotten out of the jam a little bit, but I can understand why they wanted to move to Leclerc in that spot. Maybe they had some matchups that they liked better than with Heaney out there. But Andrew Heaney pitched very, very well again. It is crazy to me that Andrew Heaney is still winless with how well he's been pitching of late. I think he's 0-4. He didn't get the loss tonight, avoided that loss. Robertson takes the L. But Heaney, it's crazy that he is 0-4, no wins, with the run that he's on pitching of late. He's been very, very good. The Rangers are very, very fortunate that they've gotten the performances that they have out of him. And I think, for me, the biggest thing that stands out, I mean, he's well over 100 batters without walking anybody. I don't think he's walked anybody in over 100 batters. I think that was the stat that I saw the other day. I didn't see it tonight, but it was like at 89 straight batters without a walk after his outing. I think it was against Oakland, I want to say, or was it against KC, his last outing? 89 straight batters without a walk. That's crazy. So for Andrew Heaney to be on this kind of run, it's what the Rangers need right now with how many pitchers they have injured. But I feel bad that guy just cannot get the run support when he pitches. And he's been pitching really, really well. Hopefully next time is the time for Andrew Heaney. That guy deserves a win in the win column. Now, let's look at tomorrow's matchup. They actually had not announced starters as of last night. So let's see if we do have a starter announced. So it looks like it's Urania pitching tomorrow for the Rangers and Colorado. Blatch, not sure how to pronounce it, but he is looks like a lefty, a dreaded lefty. So this could be interesting tomorrow, y'all. Rocky's throwing another lefty at us. Left-handed starters do appear to be a little bit of this team's kryptonite at this point. Not saying that we can't hit lefties at all, but it does seem like it's been a struggle. So I'm sure Bruce Bochy is going to employ the right-handed lineup against the lefty starter. So maybe we won't see Carter tomorrow. We didn't really talk about Carter. Scratched today with back issues, I guess. Hopefully that's not going to be a lingering thing. Man, that's crazy. 21, 22 years old, you already got back problems, man. I mean, look, I know it's baseball, and in all seriousness, stuff happens, right? But that just was a head shaker to me. It's like a 22-year-old back problems already. That's not good. Hopefully it's just like a little tweak, and he's going to be all good moving forward. But it was kind of just like, it wasn't even a shock to me that the Rangers are dealing with another injury after all the guys that they have on the IL already. Hopefully Carter can come back maybe next week at some point when the Rangers head back home and can contribute and be at 100%. I wouldn't be surprised if they gave Carter another day off tomorrow with the lefty starter going anyways. So Evan Carter scratched tonight because of back issues. We'll have to monitor that closely. But again, with the lefty throwing tomorrow, not going to be shocked if they decide to bench Evan Carter once again, give him that extra day of rest before we head back to Arlington for a series against the Guardians. So the Rangers, unfortunately, are not taking full advantage of the fact that they are playing some subpar competition, and the teams in division, the Mariners. I know the Mariners are playing the A's right now. I don't know if I would say the A's are above average competition, but the A's do happen to be beating up on the Mariners right now, so that's a good thing. Astros are playing the Tigers, that they lost today, I believe. I think this is one of those nights where, like, everybody, I mean, with the exception of the A's, everybody in the AL West lost. It would have been a nice night to gain a game on some of these AL West teams. This is what I mean. You're going to look back on this series. I know I will. A lot of people will forget about this series, I'm sure, in August or in September. But when we have a one-game lead in the division, or we're down by a game or a game out of the wild card, you're going to look back on this series in Colorado and think, why did we drop 2 out of 3? Hopefully we're not saying, why did we drop 3 out of 3 to the Rockies? I mean, these games do matter. I know it seems so far off, and there is so much time for the divisions to play itself out, but you know it's always going to come down to a few games at the end of the year, whether it's to get home field advantage, to make the playoffs, to clinch a wild card spot, to clinch the division. It's always going to come down to a few games. You're going to look back on some of these games against these bad teams and say, what were we doing? Now, I know injuries are a thing. I still say, even with these injuries, with what you got from Andrew Heaney tonight and what you got in that offense, you've still got a ton of star power. Semien, Seager, Garcia, you've still got studs, Jonah Heim. You've got a bunch of all-stars still in this lineup. So I don't think that I want to go with the injury excuse a ton for losing to the Rockies. Now, look, against the Braves or against a really, really good team, yeah, I might be a little bit more willing to throw out the injury excuse, but not against the Rockies. Not against the Rockies. I don't think there's an excuse for losing tonight. Just wasn't good enough. Okay, you threw your best in Robertson in the bullpen trying to close out the game, and it didn't go well. It is what it is. I do agree with this, though. It does seem like there's just a little bit of a lack of energy right now. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of life in this lineup and in this offense at the moment. And that could be a little bit of the extended road trip thing. The Rangers have been on the road for a week and a half at this point. So it started in Kansas City. They did Oakland. They've come back now to Colorado. So look, they've been on the road for a while. Maybe they just need to get back, get that home cooking. And sometimes the Rangers do play up to their competition and down to their competition. So it could be that the Rangers are going to get back home on Monday against the Guardians, and we're going to see a new team. Glad to be back home and glad to be playing some good competition. A lot of these guys, they see that they're playing a top team in baseball and they take it up a level. You see you're playing the worst team in baseball and you let off the accelerator a little bit. I don't know what's going on with the Rangers losing two games in a row to the Rockies, what exactly it is, what the mentality, the psyche is of the team at this point. But I've got to think maybe that's a little bit of a factor. You are on a long road trip. You're playing a bad team. You're kind of thinking you might roll over them a little bit. And here you go. Losing a series to the Rockies, not good. But with the win tomorrow, the Rangers would have a positive record for the road trip as a whole. 4-3, actually, going back to the Kansas City series, I believe it would be they would have 6 wins total because they won 2 in KC. So overall, with a win tomorrow, it would still be a successful road trip. But I really feel like this week Rangers could have gone 5-2. 5-2 would have been great. Going 4-3 against the A's and the Rockies, not awesome. I could understand a lot more if it was the Guardians, you know, and the Rays back to back. Or, you know, the Guardians and the Mariners, we go 4-3 out of 7 games. That makes a lot more sense. But losing 3 games out of 7 to the Rockies and A's combined, not good. Not good. Jose Urania, by the way, he had a rough start. Like in the first inning, I want to say, a little bit of a rough start in that doubleheader against the A's. Urania, of course, started game 1 of that doubleheader. So he actually, I thought, really did a nice job grinding out 5 innings, and his stat line actually looked pretty decent. It was like 5 innings pitched, 2 earned runs against the A's. Pitched well enough to get a win, but the Rangers could not hold the A's late and ended up losing game 1 of that doubleheader. So I like Urania and what we've seen from him so far. He hasn't been like lights out or anything, but I feel like he at least gives you a competitive chance to win. So seeing Jose Urania pitching tomorrow, I feel like it's a game the Rangers can win. The only thing that worries me a little bit is the lefty that the Rockies have thrown. We just have not really had very great offensive days against lefty starters. I know we put up 4 runs against J.P. Sears, who's a lefty starter for Oakland. So it's not like we can't do it at all. But there does appear to be a little bit of a block of some sort when we play lefties, when we play lefty starters at least. So I hope tomorrow's the day the Rangers can break out a little bit. Again, you're playing at the most hitter-friendly park in the major leagues, Coors Field, most hitter-friendly park. You would just think that the Rangers would be doing their usual double-digit outputs, but it's just not coming right now. I think the Rangers just need to get home. Like I said, get some home cooking and hopefully get back on track. Interesting. I don't know. I'm just looking at MLB right now. So if that's the case, that's going to make me very, very happy. By the way, Natalie saying that a different starter has been announced. I was just going off of what MLB has as their listed starter at the moment. So we'll see. Maybe it is going to end up being a righty. Right now on MLB.com, they've got a lefty listed. So we'll have to keep our eye on that one. We'll keep our eye on that one. But that is really curious. I would be very happy if a righty starter was out there for Colorado. If I was their manager, I'd definitely be throwing the lefty. I mean, with how the Rangers have been going, I would definitely be throwing that lefty against this Rangers lineup. But we'll see what the Rockies end up doing. So tomorrow, game time is at 2:10 Texas time, a little after noon my time out here in Vegas. So we'll probably go live sometime in the early evening, I would say, after that game. Maybe we'll even finish it out with you guys, depending on what's going on around here and what's going on with the game itself. We'll have a video out to you probably in the mid-morning going through the matchup for tomorrow, updating you on our system, betting 1 cent on Texas Rangers money line for every follower. We're still in the black. We haven't dipped back down into the red quite yet. We're still in the black. I think we're up like $10 on the year, betting Rangers to win basically every single game. So we'll see what the odds are like tomorrow. Sure would be nice, though, to get a little bit of cushion. So tomorrow is kind of one of those swing days. If we lose, we dip back down into the red a little bit. So hopefully the boys will get us a win, pop us back up, give us a little bit of that cushion that we need. And for their sake, a little bit of cushion too in the division. So right now, as we look at the AL West, and then we wrap things up for the night, guys, still maintain a one-game lead over the Mariners. A's bump up to 3 games back, Angels 6.5 back, Astros 7 back. So look, got to look at the positives. We're still in first place. We have a home series coming up next that'll probably be good for the boys. And the Rangers won the World Series last year. That is something that I always tell myself whenever I'm down on the team this year. We won the World Series. If you need something to cheer you up, watch the final at-bat of last season. That's what I do literally every time I'm feeling down about this team. Watch Josh Boers get the strikeout for the game winner in the World Series. If you need a little pick-me-up, highly recommend it. Go to YouTube after this. Look it up. It'll make your night better. It just will. It will never get old. I could watch that replay about 100 times in a day, and it would not get old on the 101st time. So we got to look at the positives, y'all. It absolutely sucks losing to the Rockies. It is a long season. We don't want to keep dropping these stupid games to bad teams, but we got to keep things in perspective. A lot of injuries, the most injuries in Major League Baseball. We're still 3 games over 500. I think if you look at everything in perspective, not too bad. The Rangers sit at 22-19 with the crazy amount of injuries that they have. I think you got to give the team some props, even though you don't want to after losing this badly to a team like Colorado. Give the team as a whole some props for being 3 games above 500, basically with your entire starting rotation down, your starting third baseman injured, your starting left fielder in Evan Carter hurt with back issues. Let's keep things all in perspective. It's glass half full tonight. I don't think it's a night to go scorched earth. We threw our best at the Rockies. Bad conditions out there, and they beat us. But let's get that win tomorrow. Let's not get swept. I will probably be in a little bit of different spirits tomorrow after a sweep. It depends on what happens, of course, and how we lose. But I'm not even going there. We're getting that win tomorrow. Jose Ureña going to come out and throw a great game. Offense is going to get going. We're putting those positive things in the air right now, y'all. So, as we always say here at Ride On Rangers, God bless. Go Rangers. Go Stars. Hopefully they'll pull out a win tonight. We're going to go catch the rest of that game right now. And I hope y'all have a great rest of your Saturday night and a good Sunday tomorrow, too, if I don't see you. Bye now.